Alrighty. Trying to let people filter in here as I refill my coffee and hell yeah. The coffee for the day is some stuff that I squeezed out of my new AeroPress, which I'm madly in love with. I get to be a reverse coffee snob. Instead of thinking about pour overs now, I just like fucking squish the coffee out of an AeroPress and move on with my morning. That's fantastic. Okay. So, Sunday fireside round two. I'm a big fan of the whole Sunday thing. We just got out of a Kremlin meeting with the Kremlin, for people who are unaware, is corp directors, sub directors, basically just below the Illuminati level. And we moved Kremlin meetings to every other Sunday before the fireside. And this is just a better way of doing business overall, because we get to have Saturday meetings and plan things and then think about things and then sleep on it instead of rushing into a fireside immediately to flip a table over. So that is cool and good. We're going to continue having firesides on Sunday. I know last week we all got together and I said that we were going to go back to Saturdays and then immediately changed my mind because the winds of my whims changed. And yeah, so this is going to be the fireside time slot. We're just going to do these on Sundays going forward because I like it. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Now, one of the amusing things is that our enemies have been doing firesides, or they call them town halls, in this time slot for some time now. And one of the strategic advantages that we were sort of accidentally pissing away is the fact that the enemy got to listen to our firesides and then have an entire day to plan and do things. So now everybody's doing firesides and town halls at exactly the same time, and they can eat my ass. Okay, so one of the things we're going to be talking about today, this is going to be primarily a discussion and Q&A. There are a bunch of different things that are going on with us as the strategic situation is kind of, I don't want to say it's stabilizing, but essentially we are waiting for the enemy to attack Wendakee1. We are preparing for them to attack Wendakee1. All of our preparations revolve around attacks on Wendakee1 and in the area surrounding Wendakee1, and the enemy is, I don't know. Either they're gonna, we have to wait for these guys to shit or get off the pot. And if they are not going to attack Wendakee1 and they're not going to actually hit the constellation hard, then our allies will continue burning down legacy space. It is a situation that is good for us. We're going to continue doing this. And while they give us more time to prepare for the defense of Wendakee1, we are doing furious org work, right? When I talk about org work, that's something that immediately will be boring to everybody who is not. Well, whatever. Maybe it's not. Doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're revising and fixing a whole bunch of our systems, our processes, and generally getting ready for what should be the biggest battle in the history of EVE Online, that being the assault on 1DQ1. So if they're going to give us more time, we're going to keep doing work to optimize and make things more efficient. And one of the things we're going to be talking about today that is a great example of something that is optimizing things and making things more efficient is the success that we've had with MGSA. One of the first things I'd like people to do, if one of you guys can be a dear and dig up the join NGSA link to join. Obviously the instructions thread for NGSA is behind the access wall, but I want a join NGSA link. Yes, thank you. So one of the things that has happened in the past with NGSA is a system whereby you get to scout the bad guys and put the data that you find into a system, which then goes to our fleet commanders, who then get to murder the bad guys. You've seen some pings this week. We are closing the loop. When we're doing this and we're getting success, we want people to see that we are getting success. In the past, there was a challenge where we had people doing NGSA, but they did not actually have an opportunity to really see the results of their actions because it wasn't optimized to make it easy to use for our fleet commanders and stuff like that, so it kind of improved that. And what you are seeing now that everybody is compressed here in Delve is that, hey, there is success. We are getting kills with NGSA because all the enemy is here. They are trying to colonize us, which means that they are a very easy target. Now, I have a, let me link this thing that BP was pointing out earlier in the Kremlin meeting because I thought it was very interesting. Bear with me. One of the things that we have seen is that when the enemy is encountering NGSA harassment, cloaky camping, and all of this stuff, that they break very rapidly. One of the reasons for this is that the enemy on the legacy side has essentially been told, hey, you're losing Faith Abelis, hey, like Esoteria is on fire, but you can move to Delve and move to Aquarius, and it will be just fine because the Imperium is broken. There are no goons. You have nothing to worry about. And so the disconnect between these guys coming over here and thinking that, hey, the war, you know, I was told by Villian Progod that everything is fine, and it's not fine. We're finding that these guys end up cloaking up, docking up, doing nothing, hiding, and just stop trying very rapidly after they have lost things. So one of the reasons why we're pushing this, as if you're looking for a way to get involved and do more than just be an F1 monkey, if you're looking for some F2 things to do, get involved with NGSA and help line up kills for everybody else, because it's easy, it's fun, and it's making a pretty significant impact. Okay. Let me check my notes. Another thing about doing these on a Sunday is that we can do more questions and answers, because it's a lot less like, oh my God, we've got to rush off to do the meta show. Oh my God, we've got to rush off and respond to an enemy attack. They're all doing their town halls too. So, yeah. So incidentally, question here about wide versus tall empire. Yeah, I gotta say, I was a little surprised and disturbed to find out what I found out on the meta show yesterday. Whenever we have guests on the show of that sort, I will always be all smiles. So I know that some of you are very angry about the scarcity changes or other things that CCB has said and done. And you know, I was watching some people in chat and in PMs basically wondering why I wasn't trying to skewer those guys or kick them in the balls. I think it's important more to be all smiles and provide a supportive environment for them to tell us things about what they really think is going on, which is quite revealing in situations where, you know, where it turns out that they don't know what wide versus tall is. Now, it could be a language barrier issue. It could just be an English speaker thing, English primarily for wide versus tall strategy games, but it also tells us that that individual doesn't play Civilization or Stellaris or Master of Orion or Galactic Civilizations or any of the grand strategy games that are often analogized to Nullsec Empire Building. Will I push harder on CCP on the timer suggestion? I've been pushing those motherfuckers on that shit for years, and they completely ignored it. So I don't know if there's actually, like, one of the dumbest things about FozzySov has always been, so the question was, for people that missed out on the show and have no idea what I'm talking about, Vizia is asking, will I push harder towards CCP on the timer suggestion, which is to say, to remove the public knowledge of when FozzySov timers are via the ESI system. Right now, nobody has to do any scouting on an iHub or TCU to see that there's a timer in fucking Amist, right? Old school in the Dominion system, so if you're old school Great War era or just pre-FozzySov nonsense, if you remember, we used to actually have recon people do recon stuff and get eyeballs on when a timer was going to be, right? It wasn't like a free intel party where I don't have to do any work and I can know when there's a SOV timer in the fucking drone regions. So if CCB Rattati is willing to flick a switch and do that, God bless. High fives all around. I will sing their praises at every opportunity. It is one of the simplest, easiest fixes. Just turn off the free intel hose. It's something that's controlled completely by CCP. They could just snap their fingers and do it. So if there is any kind of opportunity there for that, then yeah, absolutely. Nobody should be getting free intel about when a TCU or an iHub timer is, but that's the world we've been living in ever since those idiots let CCP Fozzy get anywhere near a SOV system. Okay, I just had to rubber stamp something. Cool. One of the things that we are looking at right now is we're doing a big gut and remodel in terms of our IT and dev stuff. Boris and crew, if you guys remember, Kahanis was involuntarily promoted last week, and the Imperial developers have been doing a ton of work. One of the things that we're looking at fixing here soon is the wiki, which will probably involve archiving almost all of it and starting over. That is something I'm pretty excited about. So I actually just rubber stamped somebody getting admin access for that. So that is another project that is in the wings. Has nothing to do with 1DQ1, but is also part of our general unfucking the IT and dev side of things, unfucking the knowledge transfer stuff. And essentially, every day that these guys don't attack 1DQ1 or the 1DQ1 constellation, we are hard at work improving things that the pressure of war has revealed need fixing, right? Like, war means stuff breaks, or it's a thing that wasn't really a big deal becomes a thing that you're like, all right, we got to fix this. So we are not resting on our laurels behind the scenes. We are very busy doing things because the pressure is a fantastic opportunity. Talking about purging T5ZI, That is definitely a future plans question, but it's something that we should be talking about because they're right next door. The bad guys are loudly telling everybody who will listen about how they're going to be here forever, which tells me that they are wondering about when they're going to leave because they didn't need to tell the universe that they were going to be here for years and years and that they're going to be blue forever and that they love each other last month. But for some reason, they have felt the need in the last however many weeks to try to convince us that they will be here for years and that they love each other so much because everybody loves Vili and ProGod and they're all best friends. And you know, guys, like big dogs don't need to bark. If they're sitting there going, gosh, we love each other, we're going to be blue forever, we're going to stay here forever, that doesn't, I don't take anything a puppy tells me at face value. Usually they mean the opposite of the things that they say on the show. So there you go. If they want to try while Legacy keeps losing all of their shit and we dig further and further into 1DQ1, that's fantastic. Great. Okay, so that's actually a pretty good question here. So one of the things that we got from the Kremlin meeting is we had a request also from BP, who was telling the NGSA story, to relink the ways to make ISK for members. We have a bunch of people who are returning. We have a bunch of people that have just moved into the 1DQ1 zone from our outlying areas in Delta. There is a big-ass how to make money thread for people who are just coming back, and we haven't linked that in a few weeks on a fireside. So if somebody could do me a favor and go dig that thread up and link it in Elysium, please. I will wait while somebody does that, please. I think it's in the home economics form. There we go. So this is important. One of the things is some of us are very rich, some of us are very poor, and in a situation like this where the bad guys are right next door and will they, won't they actually assault our fortress here, we need to be open and honest about those who are hurting and need help and need assistance, right? Don't suffer quietly. Don't suffer alone. If you're in a situation where you need help, ask for it. Elysium here is a great place to do it, either in Firesides or not in Firesides. If you're worried about ISK, you can also join GS ISK. Use the forums. There are ways to do it because we've been doing this for almost a fucking year now. But if you have not yet needed to adapt your ISK making strategy because you've only just now moved all your shit into 1DQ1 or whatever, there are threads. Please use them. Please do talk to each other. There are ways that goons can help each other out. And we want to help you out. We are trying to make things easier for us to get whatever help you need such that you can keep fighting and killing the puppies because that is all that matters at the end of the day. And, you know, one of the other things is that this sort of dovetails into the wiki stuff in a weird way. I know that you guys probably didn't expect me to be talking about the fucking wiki today, but one of the issues that we have is if you've been coming back to the game or if you've been out for like a year or 10 years and you come back, is it's very confusing because since the Imperium and Goonswarm have been around forever at this point, our wiki and a lot of our information is out of date. So we're going to be archiving a lot of that old stuff and just rebooting it with the current knowledge. And that's because, you know, stuff changes, the core mechanics change, and our wiki is so big, it's gotten to a point where when people come back and they've been offline for a while, you know, a lot of the stuff that's out there is stuff that was worthwhile 4 years ago, then something changed, and it's more work at this juncture to go through and actually like figure out what's obsolete and whatnot, rather than just paving it over and starting fresh. So don't worry about that until it starts, and Rat Knight and a lot of the guys in Gooniversity are going to get volunteered for that, most likely. And yeah, so that is part of what we're doing. So we want people to help each other out in terms of recommendations for how to make ISK, useful threads, things like that, and we're trying to meet everybody halfway on that end. Okay, let me take some questions. Storing T5ZI is something that we will not talk about until we do it. It is certainly something that's on everybody's mind, he says, talking about it after saying that he wouldn't talk about it. What happens if they take 1DQ1? Well, 1DQ1 is a very big system, right? To take 1DQ1, they have to blow up all of our keep stars because, in case you haven't noticed, I'm telling you guys, we're fighting this out to the last. We're fucking fighting this thing out to the last. It's asset safety. Like, I don't give a fuck. It's not like the old school days where you lose everything when you have something. I don't think that they can take 1DQ1 because they've got to actually, like, make a play in... You know what? Let's walk through the process. Let me make sure they're not going to get screamed at here. But we talked about it in the on the Kremlin meeting, and some of this stuff is not not exactly OPSEC. So let's talk through what one has to do potentially to attack 1DQ1 for serious. Well, first of all, they have to hit the IHUB. As you guys know, the IHOP is in U.S. time zone. The IHOP, we thought that they were going to actually try to make a go at purging Monday Q1 in the middle of last month. And just before we think that they were going to do it, we inconveniently for them shifted our SOB timer to U.S. time zone, which means that they have to start a 6 a.m. hack at 23:30 Eve, approximately, or 23:30. And now with daylight savings time for Euros, that's even later. We roughly match these guys in numbers in U.S. time zone, and they have to do it in heavy tie-dye for the longest possible hack, and they've got to actually do it on the 1DQ1 iHub, which has a citadel within range of that iHub. You may be wondering, and you're probably going to be hearing the pubbies complaining about this because they're so mad about that citadel. CCP put that there. That is a citadel that is within range of that iHub because it is originally a station that was converted into a Fortizar. By CCP. We did not put that thing there. It's just an old relic that conveniently happens to be within fuck you, die in a fire range of the 1DQ1 iHub. So they have to do that on ADM6 starting at 23:30 when the Voln's open, and have to get it through somehow between then and downtime to even spawn the nodes. Now, obviously, we could falter, we could fail, we could fuck it up if people just sort of give up and whatever. I don't think that's going to happen because our U.S. time zone has been recovering and getting stronger and stronger, because that's what happens. U.S. at the start of this war, in July of 2020, the Euros were the guys who were on deck for the first 4 months of defense. And then that sort of happened here with our U.S. time zone up until mid-March, where we flopped things over. Citadel's back to EU and U.S. getting SOV, and our USTZ guys have been getting fights every night and recovering and, generally speaking, kicking ass and taking names. So they have to call here and hack that first if they want to spawn the nodes and then begin a jammer contest. And I hope they do, because I think that we will murder zone them. I think that defense is cheaper than offense, because there's force multipliers on defense. I think we've got a very good fortified position. This is one of the reasons why, when we're talking about 1DQ1, because there's so many people in T5, there's so many people in 1DQ1, and tie-dye is going to be a thing here, even though both 1DQ1 and T5ZI are now probably on the fastest computers that CCP has with the available technology. I think that it is critically important to have, like, every opportunity you have to put another functional doctrine ship ready to rock, fully fitted and able to go. If you have the ISK for it, you really want to have, like, if you're going to be flying a battleship in the 1DQ1 fights, you want to have 5 battleships, 10 battleships if you can afford it. You want to convert your ISK into assets that can be utilized to kill and not have to wait, oh, I need to buy this off the market, oh, I need to do that. Because when 1DQ1 kicks off, it's going to be the biggest tie-dye fuckfest, and everyone everywhere is going to be logging into the game in order to try to jam themselves into 1DQ1, hostile, friendly, all of it. And so that is why it is so, so, so important, and this is all you're going to be hearing about for a while, to have all of the doctrine ships that you can have. Don't be waiting to buy one off contract. Don't be waiting for your reimbursement ISK. If you are poor and you can't actually stack up a bunch of ships, ask your friends for help. Ask your corps for help. We cannot, you will not necessarily be able, even if you want to purchase a ship off of a contract. We have them. We have these huge fucking stockpiles that we have built up exactly for this reason. But every bit of preparation you do now will be paying off tenfold when the fight actually happens. You do not want to be scrambling for replacement ships during these fights. So go deep, build up a fucking armory, build up a stockpile, because that's how that's going to go down. What's the weed of the day? I don't know. It's whatever is in my fucking pen. We're in Wisconsin here, so beggars can't be choosers. And yes, bark, bark, bark. Yeah, so Cynthia Gray is a perfect example of what we're looking here, guys. Cynthia Gray has linked this here. Now, this is for people that have the ISK, right? We don't expect everybody to immediately be able to afford having, like, 20 fitted battleships. But if you can, that would be fantastic. Because, again, when this shit starts, we cannot assume that, you know, we can't make any assumptions about what is going to break on the CCP server side of things, but we can make assumptions that stuff will break, and that the things that are most likely to break are the things that we've seen break in the past. And the most important thing is for people to be able to get in their ships as fast as they possibly can, as required, when the assault begins, and to be able to churn through those ships to defend the fucking iHub no matter what, without going, oh shit, I only had one ship, I'm waiting for reimbursement, oh gee, I'm useless now. So the enemy is giving us every day that they don't attack 1DQ1 is an opportunity for us to fucking dig in further and make it an even more nightmarish place for them to attack. So do the fucking prep work. You will regret it if you don't. As part of that, we talked about this last week, I believe. We want to make sure that people are also getting the bookmarks that they require. We need to make sure that people are making independent bookmarks. You don't just fucking rely on perches that are your court bookmarks. Go out there, exercise some F2, and learn how to get yourself proper perches on all of the major keep stars in 1DQ. You don't have to worry about all the four desires. We talked about this last week. All the gates, learn how to set up independent bookmarks, because one of the things that you can assume during a 1DQ1 assault situation is that the enemy is going to have drag bubbles between all of the major keep stars. And we might have all drag bubbles between all the major keep stars at that point. Like, there's going to be fights everywhere through the system. You cannot rely on the market working in heavy tie-dye, and you cannot just assume that court bookmarks are going to be safe or whatever. Like, get out there, do the fucking prep, inspect the fortress walls yourselves. We have a good example here of bookmark coverage here from Jumpstar. That is pretty fucking aggressive there. One of the reasons why we're saying that we need these ships to be fitted in advance, not just to have them, is that every time that you are trying to drag and drop a fucking module onto a ship, or if you're fancy and you're using the system to press the fit button, the server has to make a bunch of calls in order to put all of those things in the right entries in the database. And you do not want the server to be making a whole bunch of calls to fit a fucking ship in the middle of the assault on 1DQ1. Yeah, and multi-fit just doesn't work in tie-dye, so there you go. Pre-insure, I wouldn't worry about pre-insuring. Every time that we pre-insure something, it tends to end up being a different thing. So listen to your fleet commanders on that. What should new people be stocking up on? It depends upon your ability, what ships you can fly. Most of the time when we're talking about defense, you're looking at Baltics and Rocks. If you're an absolute newbie and you can't fly anything fancy, use a Vigil. Vigils are fucking great. We love Vigils. You know, if you can, obviously Fax Pilots, Battleship, Vigils for the tiny stuff. And if you're at the point where you can do Logi, Logi is great, but in many cases for these Battleship fleets, we are going to be relying on Faxes. But again, if you have questions, I would say talk to your friends, talk to people, figure it out, discuss what you're doing with each other such that you can share advice, right? This is a thing that is, it sounds very difficult and it will be very difficult if you do it alone without any help. If you're like, Jesus, I'm a newbie. I have no idea what's going on, or I've not played in 10 years and I've come back and, you know, Mittens is asking me to set up a whole bunch of bookmarks with perches and have 10 of whatever's fit and I don't know what's going on. Don't just sit there quietly and suffer and then not do the prep. Ask for help. Ask for help. You have friends. If you don't have friends, join a Sigur squad or just ask for help in fucking Elysium. If you're like, I'm a clueless newbie, what the fuck is going on? You will be helped, but you have to make that first step of asking for assistance and just see what people are doing, and they will help you. It'll be good. So speaking of making friends, we're going to touch on the Protosquad project. So we have made a couple of improvements. We are going to be, when we next do these, we are going to be trying to split them into time zone squads. So we have our initial three squads from the second founding that are up and running. And last week I threatened them and I said that they needed to do something or we were going to shut them down and try the next iteration on it. And perhaps unsurprisingly, a couple of them did things. And if those squads are looking for things to do and they're like, Jesus Christ, how do I do anything to help out? I would again point everybody towards NGSA. It is a fantastic value add for our current circumstances. But when we start expanding that system, we are going to be doing it on a time zone basis. So everybody within like a 3-hour range that we'll be setting will be seated into that. Because one of the biggest points of feedback we got, whereby feedback, I mean, dudes, why didn't you do this? You're a bunch of idiots. What the fuck? was, you know, these things need to have people be selected by time zones. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, this is something that we've been talking about off and on for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and it impacts about 600 people were shoved into these things. So if you're not one of those people, don't worry about it. If you are one of those people, that's the update, is you guys managed to not die, and we are continually learning how to improve and tweak this such that we don't fuck things up. It'll be good. Will we have another proto squad lottery soon? Yeah, so that's part of dev work that's going on, is we are developing a capability to make these things be time zone specific and improve them accordingly. So that is going to happen as soon as it is reasonably possible. All right, let me take some more questions. It is kind of weird. Again, like the Sunday fireside thing, it's nice and chill, but on Saturdays, usually like the bad guys are like was another reason why we need to do these on Sundays. Usually, like, the bad guys are trying to interrupt the fireside or attack during it, or everything is on fire and exploding, and here we can be more like, yo, dude, let's figure it out. Yeah, the wiki news. Also, the people who are in Gooniversity that are interested in helping with this, you know, we don't want to reinvent the wheel, right? Like, there are a bunch of perfectly good wikis out there that have updated information. We are going to make sure that we start again with the most accurate updated information, such that it won't be so much of a pain in the ass to unfuck going forward. I don't want to put a timeline on when we're going to be doing that. It will be within, he says, I don't want to put a timeline on where it's going to be, comma, immediately putting a timeline on when it's going to be. It'll probably be within the next 2 weeks that we will be moving forward on the wiki thing. So if you're part of Gooniversity and you were interested in helping out with that, annoy Rat Knight, because he has foolishly been either volunteered or was volunteered. I'm not entirely sure on the details. That's sort of how we roll. But the Gooniversity guys are going to be our go-to for wiki unfucking. How much left is to burn in Legacy? So that's a very good question. A lot of things that are not Keepstars, basically almost everything that Legacy has that's not Keepstars. There's a few regions, a little bit of Faith Avalis, a little bit of Esoteria, but most everything that's not a Keepstar has been glassed. And that's because if you take a look at the map of the Galactic Southeast, you're seeing a lot of our allies have taken Sov in former Legacy space, and shit is burning. Now, Initiative has been going on a big a Keepstar reinforcing spree recently. We have not seen a Keepstar blow up yet in hostile territory, but I think that is something that you could logically expect to see. The longer that the enemy goes without attacking 1-1, the more likely it is that in these regions, when there's nothing else to do but shoot Keepstars, Keepstars are going to keep getting shot. And I think it's going to be a very interesting perspective, what happens once you start seeing Legacy actually lose Keepstars. Now, I don't want to put a timeline on that, because it's up to our allies when they feel like reinforcing it. And, you know, shit happens. Like, if the battle for 1-1 begins tomorrow, then that's going to be our focus. But essentially, as each day goes by that the bad guys are not attacking 1-1 effectively, we're digging in, we're doing the prep, we're teaching people that don't know how to do the prep how to do the prep, and our allies are burning all the hostile shit down. So, you know, great. This is why, since the very beginning, we've been saying defensive wars are to the advantage of time is on the side of the defender in defensive wars, and this is why. Frost Ease OP reported Titans and Supers being bought from 1-1 by Pappy. I don't know who Frost Ease OP is. We did see a NC.Dot spy went to T5ZI last week and made a big Reddit post about how he had totally smuggled a zillion things out, and it turned out it was two Titans and some super carriers. That is something that, in the case of the guys who are spies that repatriate, like, so there was that Ichimura, whatever the fuck his guy is, who is a Horde spy in AUTZ, and he flipped over to Horde, which is great because he's a terrible fleet commander, and now we get to shoot him. that was kind of a delightful turn of events. And then with this NC.Dot guy, you know, this is one of those things. It's like, hey, guys, I'm leaving, and we totally smuggled out all these different kind of things, blah, 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 blah. And then you look at it, and that's not what happened. But we do have enforcement regimes for investigating who is doing what in terms of smuggling. It's something that we're actively always trying to keep an eye on, is super capital proliferation and people trying to smuggle them out. That's like an active counterintelligence process that is continual and has been continual for years. Is it perfect? No. Do some get out? Yes. Do we catch smugglers? Usually. Was that like a huge uncovering of something? No, it was like two rags and 25, I guess, supers, which, I mean, I guess I'm not happy about the rags. Super carriers are sort of crunch all you want, we'll make more.
Getting a lot of money for those super carriers is kind of funny. But yeah, that's always an active counterintelligence thing. We can't comment too much more on like sources and methods and how that works.
Yeah, we don't want to be like, here's how we track it, and such that bad guys can get around. Let me take a look here. All right, so yeah, actually, this is super chill. Normally speaking, on a fireside, I gotta up and run and do the meta show immediately. But I don't want to keep you guys here too long when we're running out of questions. So what I would like to do is take a few more questions from people, and then we'll wrap this up probably in the next 3 or 4 minutes, and you can go about your Sunday and enjoy yourself. Any comment on CCB hiring players from PL, Snake Randolph, to work for CCB? I think that I don't envy CCP Swift because it appears that he is sort of stepping into the same position that CCP Guard used to have. I think that, you know, Elise and I go way back. We call him Snake Randall for a reason, but, you know, he's a very smart, very savvy kind of guy. And him working for CCP, I think it removes him from the chessboard in a lot of ways. If he is, you know, one of his first tasks that we saw yesterday on the MetaShow interview was he was being put in a position where he had to do PR and make excuses and do cleanup, basically, for the we removed all the asteroid belts without telling the CSM or anybody, and oops, we also broke officer spawns. Fuck up. So, you know, welcome to working for CCP, dude. So yeah, I'm not concerned about him like being a PL guy and working for CCP. Like, I'm not really too worried about that. Let me see. Can we, there's questions here about, can we kill this? Questions about moving, would I take an offer and get hired by CCP? Are you fucking kidding me? Absolutely not. They couldn't pay me enough for work for them. Are we doing more moving ops for fax machines? I don't want to speak to that because that's something that our FCs are going to be doing. We have been doing, obviously, carriers and super carriers have been moved over the last 2 weeks into the Theta Star. You've seen the move ops for that. I can't speak to whether there will be more of them. Look for pings. Or actually, perhaps more accurately, if you need to get in on those move ops because you managed to miss the ones that happened, scream for help in the appropriate channel. When I say the appropriate channel, I mean Capswarm or, you know, it's not Super Tits anymore, but use Titan Swarm or use Fight Club, and you shouldn't need to say anything about it in Titan Swarm because we're not going to be talking about this on a Fireside. But basically, if you miss those move ops, scream for help in the appropriate channels for that level of capital class vessel, and the fleet commanders will hopefully arrange things for you. All right. So that is going to be it for this week. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your questions. We are going to be doing these again every Sunday now, same time slot as we used to do. So I will see you all next week, same time. This is fantastic. I have done this Fireside from wearing a Snuggie, and it's about as Sunday vibes as I can get. And so I'm going to go smoke some fucking weed. And meanwhile, the work continues. We need to keep preparing. We need to keep digging in and get ready to kill these motherfuckers. Let's get back out there.